you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I stood not far from this pulpit, explaining to a congregation of 3- and 4-year-olds the 6th petition, and lead us not into temptation. I asked them to imagine that I had their favorite type of cookie. They gazed intently as I pretended to place the cookie on the rail in front of them. I told them that these were my cookies, they could not have them, and I told them that that inner conflict over whether to do good or evil had a name: temptation. Tonight I would like to talk to you about temptation. Our text begins with Jesus saying, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." If placed in Jesus' sandals, I'm sure we would be tempted to run from the Passover. That is what temptation does. It reveals a less painful or more pleasurable alternative to doing the right thing. When you are angry and annoyed, it is hard, even unpleasant, to be gracious and patient. On the other hand, how satisfying it can be to express our anger with cold behavior and rude speech. It is difficult to work hard for your employer, and far easier to get by with the minimum. It requires self-control and vigilance to deny your sinful flesh and remain faithful to your spouse in mind and body. The alternative can at times seem far more alluring. Jesus was no doubt tempted by Satan to run from the Passover, as we had imagined he would be, or we would be rather. "You don't have to do this, Jesus. There is still time to escape. You don't have to go to the cross." As Hebrews says, Jesus in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus said no to that temptation, and indeed every temptation. He did not take the easy way out. In fact, quite to the contrary, he says in the text, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." He is eager because Jesus comes to fulfill the Passover. He comes to lay down his life as the true Paschal Lamb. The Lord told Moses before the first Passover that the Israelites must select a lamb without blemish or spot. Christ fulfills this by living a perfect life, never being stained by sin. The Lord told Moses to put the lamb's blood over the doorpost and lintel of the Israelite houses. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you." When our God returns to execute judgment on this world, he will see that you are covered by the righteousness of Christ, and his wrath will pass over you. The Lord told Moses that they were to eat the Passover lamb, and for your sake, the Lamb of God gives you his very body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. How endless are his mercies! And why does he do all this? Why does he face with us temptation's power and fight our ancient foe? To quote the words from our Lenten theme hymn. Of course, the answer is because of his love for you. Have you ever asked the question how Jesus could resist the temptation to end his suffering while on the cross? Remember, at any moment, Jesus could have had the celestial equivalent of SEAL Team 6 come down for a rescue. As Jesus says later that Passover night when he is arrested, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Think about it. Every moment he was on the cross, was of his own will. As Jesus says in John 10, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Some may think because Jesus was God, he was utilizing some superhuman power or pain tolerance to endure the cross. But Scripture doesn't speak in those terms. Jesus was fully human. And if anything, he was feeling more pain than the average human would, because beyond the physical pain, beyond the nails, God is pouring out his wrath upon Jesus for the sins of the world. No, Jesus employs no parlor tricks, no divine shortcuts. What empowers him to remain on the cross is his love for us. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:10. In conclusion, may we this Lenten season ponder anew Jesus' love for us. May that love create in us a clean heart, free from all desire to commit evil against God and neighbor. And when we do fall into temptation, may we remember that Christ is the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And may we be assured of our forgiveness in him. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.